God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the account in where St. Paul picks up the words of institution. The title of the message has changed a little bit from what was printed, picking up the concept of remembrance, but the title is My Remembrance of You. Now, I will admit that might sound a little different with the word order and the emphasis, but it's designed for a reason. Why change the word order and meaning of the phrase to my remembrance of you? Now, to be fair, I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible, but the word order is also a valid translation where Jesus says, do this for my remembrance of you. Does it really make a difference? And there's a special nuance I want you to consider, especially tonight. Especially tonight as we celebrate Maundy Thursday, the night in which our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. He gave us this command, do this often. The difference in the word order is showing the difference in the action. Who is doing the work? Who is doing the remembrance? Some see tonight as a time of just reenacting what Christ did before his upcoming trial and crucifixion. But it's more than just going through the motions. It is real action here and now for you, for me, for all who are in Christ. The real action is Christ attaching himself to you, bringing himself to you. This is all about God's plan of salvation, Christ taking on flesh and blood and coming for you. It has its beginnings with Gabriel's announcement to Mary. It's about Christ taking on flesh and blood, being born in Bethlehem. In doing so, because we can't save ourselves, we need God to intervene. And so God takes on flesh and blood. It is about Christ coming for you. Again, note the action here. Christ is doing the doing. So the change in the word order and action is significant. Does this meal really have any type of effect on us? Or is it just something we do, something we just do in the liturgy, something that takes a few extra minutes, makes the service go longer? I venture to say, as we take a look at God's word and scripture, we find out there's a lot more going on than just going through the motions. So what is Christ doing? In this Eucharist, Christ is attaching himself, his body, and his blood with this bread and wine for our consumption, so that physically we receive his flesh and blood for the forgiveness of sins, which in essence attaches us to his body and blood. And this is why we also call it a Holy Communion, in which he attaches himself to you and makes us members of his body. St. Paul picks up on this beautiful language here. We're all part of the body of Christ. Now we're taking that language, connecting it with his body, his blood, in that bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins. It is not just a mere memory or some cognitive ability that we are doing here, but attachment in a physical, mystical, mysterious way that only the Son of God can and does initiate. The Eucharist is the place where Christ becomes most present to us because he not only becomes the Christ living within us, but the Christ living among us that attaches himself to us and to all of Christendom. Now, I will admit, this concept of Christ attaching himself to us may sound a little bit foreign, but let's pick up some other scriptures to sort of make this point. Let's go to Numbers chapter 6, to another passage that you're very familiar with. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying thus, you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." We should recognize these words as we close our worship services, usually with this, except for during this tritium part. We'll do that on Easter. But let's not forget the last verse of the chapter. It's the next verse in line. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So with these words, God instructs Moses to tell Aaron, this is how you're going to attach my name to the people, and using these words. Another attachment here. Again, note the action. You just don't go through the words for some sort of ritual. You just don't say, this is how we close all our worship services and nothing really happens except for now we know that we're just going to hear a few announcements and then head out the door. The name of God is being attached, put upon the people. Not just repeating the word for the sake of repeating, but real action, real blessing. This is similar to the idea that the explanation of Luther's Small Catechism brings about in connection with baptism. One of the questions is, what does it mean to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, it means that in baptism, God, the Holy Trinity, receives me into communion or fellowship with him. Again, note the attachment here. Not just with the benediction and God's name, but also with baptism. God is trying to make a point here. In Exodus chapter 12, when God is giving to the people of Israel the Passover, God's instruction of putting blood on the doorposts, on the gates for this purpose, he says, starting in verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you and on houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Please note in this concept that judgment by God was given to all, with the exception of those who followed the instructions of the Passover, who were covered with the blood of the Lamb. This isn't some sort of lucky charm or talisman, but intervention by God, real action. For God would remember his people in Egypt and deliver them. And this was how God was going to deliver them. They could not save themselves. They were in bondage in Egypt, and they needed divine intervention. And here comes the divine. Again, via means. Do you believe and trust in the promises of God? Do the Passover. Put the blood on the doorposts. God is still using the blood of the Lamb to deliver his people. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Yes, Jesus is that Lamb of God. And on Good Friday, we celebrate that Lamb being crucified, his body being crucified, his blood being shed for all people. Christ is attaching himself to all who receive his body and blood. We are coming forward. We receive that bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. Is there not a little action on our part? The movement forward, yes, but the actual work, no. He is doing the attaching. He is doing the gift giving. He gives of his own body and blood for you to consume for the benefit of you. We receive his gifts. And in the midst of a world where we struggle to get connected to true life, we live in a world where sometimes even as Christians, we grasp at shallow things, hoping they provide some level of comfort for our hectic lives. But I'm here tonight to tell you what God's word says. It is only Christ that settles the soul. It is only Christ that brings peace, a peace that the social media of this world cannot begin to even compete with. As people and events take away our energy, and sometimes seem to devour us, we gather here tonight with God's word and his sacrament. Here in the Eucharist, Christ gives freely, completely, for all. So we don't remember like looking at pictures of some great event in the past. But we are here to gather as we are part of the action. God remembers us and delivers us with his own body and blood, not just 2,000 years ago, but today, as we hear his word and receive his own body and blood. His remembrance, his attachment of himself to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.